No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Brian.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Let's roll.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 59 of No Sir, I Don't Like It. I am Carmen Morales. I am your host. With me, as always, the very funny Mr. Brian Vokey.
Hello. We got a guest finally again.
We do have a guest.
Finally.
Yeah.
We did three episodes.
We've had like 3 episodes where we haven't had a guest.
Oh, okay.
And just so Brian and I can maintain our friendship, we have to have other people to talk to.
Oh, it's like a
relationship. Because you can have like you can learn too much about each other, and then I feel like it'll kind of like ruin.
That's the same fun. As in my house. Like, me and my girlfriend need a guest over all the time, or else we'll fight.
By the way, that's the voice of Lachlan Patterson, everybody.
How's it going?
We should tell him. Yeah, hey, thanks for
sure.
being on.
Thank you. I should have waited.
I thought we were going to go through the whole thing without ever saying your name.
This is the shack.
This is great. We're in Lachlan Patterson's. Is this just a room to smoke pot in?
I think this is a set from Beach Party Blingo or whatever that movie's
blanket
called.
Bingo?
Yeah, Bleach Bank, whatever.
Bleach,
I can't say it.
Bleach Blanket.
Bleach.
Bleach
I'm
Blanket.
I'm the dumbest person alive. I really am.
It's Bleach Blanket.
Bleach Blanket.
All white blankets. Even the colored ones are all ruined.
It's awesome. There's surfboards and there's a map of, and there's you, there's a drawing of you. This is where you record your podcast.
Do you think that's me right there?
It's you and your buddy, right?
That's Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
there you go. It's
you
and your buddy.
I thought that
was fan art from the Kooks podcast that you guys were doing.
It is actually fan art from the Kooks of comedy. A fan made that. And those are little VHS tapes in the water.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a cool piece that someone sent us and we put it up.
If you guys don't know anything about Lachlan Patterson, he's a surfer.
No, I'm not a surfer. I surf.
That's, oh, okay, there's
that's
a difference?
An identity, right?
Yeah, surfer is.
What's the difference?
So a surfer is really good.
Oh, you just like to surf.
I like to surf.
You're not like doing it. So if it's like comedian, where you, if you're doing it on a professional level, then you're a
exactly.
surfer.
Exactly. It's very much like comedy in that it takes forever to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. It's like 10 years, they say, before you really kind of find your voice in comedy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's the same with surfing.
Have you found your surfing voice?
I'm at 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like a solid feature?
You're like a solid feature surfer? It's one of those things like comedy where you're on a roll, you have a great set, mm-hmm. you have another great set, and then all of a sudden you just have a shitty set. And you're like, oh yeah, I know nothing.
And they're called sets too, aren't they? They are called sets.
Waves come in sets, yeah. Sets of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10.
Right.
It depends on the swell, but yeah.
Do you go out most days?
Yes.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I sprained my ankle 2 weeks ago really badly, so I haven't been in the water, and it's killing me. I actually went in the water today and tried to surf, and I tried to stand up, and I quit, and it just killed, and I screamed, and I just...
So you got all dressed up.
I got all in my wetsuit.
Got the board all the way up.
Got
there.
Up. There's a hole. You got to get up.
Find parking.
Got to get up early. Got to find parking.
Yeah.
You got to get your morning coffee.
It's a huge process.
You got to take a dump because you get on a wetsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a process
you
to
don't
get
want,
on and off.
So you got to go to the bathroom before you get in there. So you got to wait for that to happen. And then you got to look at the cam at the night before. And you also got to judge whether or not it's going to be worth it. And then you got to check the wind in the morning. And oh my God, so many things.
Such a process.
Yeah. Whereas stand up, you just go out and fuck it. If
well, you're,
sucks,
I guess you're
sucks.
Supposed to put some thought into it before, but I just never do.
Well, and that's like surfing too. When you first start, you don't do any of that.
You just go out there and figure it out.
Just get some stage time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But then as you get older and you're
like, no, it's got to be worth it.
I'm not going to
waste my whole day.
Yeah.
Some comedy shows are damaging.
Yeah.
Oh, all of the ones I do. All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still driving 4 hours for a 2-foot wave.
Oh, I remember those days, dude.
Yeah.
You always get suckered into one of those shows. Oh. I'm 20.
I'm asking for them.
Yeah.
I'm not even getting suckered in.
Okay. Well, it's good.
It's all right.
How long you been doing it?
Five.
Five. 25 is my one of my favorite years because you are still working with other comedians a lot.
Yes.
And those people are your friends.
Yes.
And you bro out and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. When you start to take off and get on the road and get busy, a lot of times you're on your own.
Yep.
And you're meeting strangers everywhere you go and staying in a hotel. It's a lot much more lonely. And when I run into people from my 5 year days, I'm always like, man, I miss those. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Starlight? And
that's actually how we met, was two strangers on the road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Where did you start?
I started in Vancouver.
Vancouver. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You?
San Francisco.
Cool.
Yeah.
San Francisco's awesome.
Yeah.
And you started in
Florida.
Fucking Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. Or easy, because no one's funny in Florida.
You know, it's weird because there's a ton of funny people have come out of Florida.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's such a breeding ground for hacks. Like there's people that never leave Florida. Like there's enough shitty work, or I mean, there was when I started, there was enough shitty work where you could never leave Florida and still make like $25,000 a year doing stand up.
Right.
So that, you know, they're just poor dudes who would just do the Grouchos or whatever the fuck shitty one nighters, but all over Florida.
Yeah.
Because there was always like some hole in the wall in Palatka or something like that that you could just do. And then you'd never had to leave. You never had to get good. You just had to make enough of the Jewish population laugh, which was in South Florida. And they loved old shit anyways.
Right.
So it was like you either catered to those people or you left. So that's why I got on the road super early, because I had to get out of there so I didn't become one of those people.
Good for you. Featuring on the road is death.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I mean, I prefer featuring to headlining. Don't worry. Well,
it's the sweet spot.
As far as performing.
Yeah.
But trying to live off of being a feature for me was very hard. I had to, I remember I would eat grilled cheese sandwiches and I would make them with the iron.
Oh, yeah. We've done that on the podcast.
You have?
In a hotel Louisville?
Yeah, in Louisville, Kentucky.
Did you do the cup of noodles in the coffee maker?
No, but I have done that.
That's a score right there. Mm-hmm. Ramen in the coffee maker.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a top
ramen.
An old road dog that I used to work with that I knew for years. That was his big thing, is he wanted to show us on the podcast that you could make a grilled cheese sandwich with an iron.
Yeah, you totally can.
You can, and it was tasty.
It was really good.
Yeah. Gotta be careful what we say, because he listens.
He does?
Yeah. You were having a comment. You texted me saying he heard us. Kenny Smith is the name of the comic.
Okay.
He wasn't mad about that. He was just still mad that day we weren't making a big enough deal about it. Because he thought we were going to be.
We were making
fun of him because this was his big thing that he wanted to do. And it was you just want to make a grilled cheese with an iron? Like, that's.
He thought he was changing our lives.
Oh. Yeah. And because we didn't react appropriately, he's still like, you know, you guys looked at me like I was nuts the whole time. And he's just a very insecure person. Okay. So he would just go off about how he didn't think we gave him the right reaction.
The thing is, too, is that I may be 5 years in a comedy, but I toured the world in bands for years, too.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And she's been on tour for 10 years. Okay. So there's not much road stuff he could have showed us. And I think he wanted us to be really impressed.
Woo!
And it's like we've both.
Kenny?
Yeah.
Top Ramen Kenny, did you do that shit?
You know what's funny about Top Ramen is I didn't know that ramen was like could be fancy until recently.
I didn't know until about 2 years
ago. I thought ramen was a
brand.
Mm-hmm. I thought just that shitty 25-cent pack of noodles, I thought that's all ramen was.
So when you drove by those ramen house restaurants, you just thought they were picking those 99 cents?
Super cheap soup. And then you go in and it was like $17 for a bowl of it. And I'm like, what?
I didn't drive by a lot. I lived in Oakland for so long and there's probably a lot of ramen there now. But I mean, I remember seeing one in San Francisco and being like, what the fuck is that? But I'm from Georgia.
It's the same shit.
Yeah, it's the same shit.
Still salt water.
They just put half a boiled egg in there, and it's different. Yep. Now it's different.
Totally.
The difference is now there's pork belly in it instead of whatever you have in your kitchen.
Yeah, you could just, you know what I always do? I always take whenever I'm cooking meat, I always take the bones and.
You make broth?
And I make broth.
Mm-hmm. You can freeze them too. You take a muffin pan, pour it all in there, and then you can freeze it. And then whatever dish you're making, you just throw one of those bitches in there instead of water, and it's a lot of flavor.
And dogs love those frozen popsicles.
Oh, yeah. That's all it is.
P-U-P, right?
Popsicles.
Yeah.
Which
are people's minds being blown right now? Like, do they reach out to you and say, my mind was
sometimes
blown?
Sometimes. I hope so. If you are having your mind blown now, email us nosirpod@gmail.com. That's nosirpod@gmail.com.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Or tweet.
Yeah, you can tweet us. Tweet at us at No Sir Pod.
Email.
Either one.
Oh man.
If, yeah, I, you want the P.O. box if you want to write a letter.
Oh man, remember those?
Yeah.
Send your comments. Oh man, I gotta find a stamp.
3 months ago, it seems Mr. Curdle John was upset with. What's been bothering you?
Yeah, the premise of this is stuff you don't like. Is there something that you don't like?
Well, it's interesting that we're talking about mail. Mail bothers me for sure.
Just snail mail or all email too?
Why can't the envelopes have stamps on them? Like, why did we have to buy those from separate businesses?
Why
are they making it so difficult to send mail?
I think it's because the post office wants their cut. So then we would only be able to buy envelopes from the post office.
The post office and the envelope business should be going in together. They work right next door to each other in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Why not work together and say, hey, guys, you guys are making envelopes. We happen to be sticking our thing on your envelopes. What do you say? We just save each other a lot of work and save the whole entire country a lot of work and put them on together. And people just buy our shit together.
Well, I think that's why 90% of mail now isn't stamped mail. It's like Amazon boxes and magazines. There's no stamps on that stuff.
Maybe you're right, but every once in a while, like tax time right now, you gotta fucking mail something.
Yep.
Yeah.
And plus, if you still do shitty gigs like I do, you get a check mailed to you because they have to gouge how much they're paying you.
Right.
So I still get a check in the mail. But you can also buy stamped envelopes at the post office.
The post office, Carmen?
That's what I'm saying.
I gotta go to the place
where the mail has to go just to get a stamped envelope. It shouldn't be that hard.
The post office is just a death. I don't want to go there.
You know, Stamps.com sponsors like every podcast.
Except this one. This could be a really good plug for them, so I think they're really slacking.
Yeah. Stamps.com, if you want to give us money, we can help this conversation. But I'm not going any further.
Stamps.com sucks. I tried it.
Yeah.
Did you really?
It costs more money than it would be to go through this whole...
rigmarole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you got to find a mailbox. And
they
move them around. I think I don't know where my mailbox is anymore.
I imagine out here they probably like put like grass on them and stuff in Venice. And, like,
yeah, they hide them in a vine somewhere.
They paint them.
Yeah, paint them with a multicultural mural.
Explain to me this too. When you go to mail a letter, I went to mail a letter and it was I just handed it to the postman.
Yeah.
At the post office I went, and. Yeah. And the guy said, for $7, you can get it certified. Do you want it certified? And I said, what's that? And he goes, it's just to ensure that it gets there.
That's some mafia shit.
Isn't this some bullshit?
Yeah. That's like.
Well, it's also somebody has to sign for it. So it's there's no proof.
Isn't that racketeering, though? Like, we're paying you to protect you from a problem that we can create. That's racketeering.
Yeah. It's you're charging me for something, but now you're charging extra. And threatening not to do that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mafioso would walk into a corner store and say, it'd be awful if a brick went through your window. If you pay us 10% of your earnings a month, we can make sure a brick won't go through your window. Meaning, they're the ones who would throw the brick in the first place.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what the post office is doing.
Because it's not like they're going to post up a security guard to make sure nobody's throwing bricks in your window.
Exactly.
It's worse than that, too, because they're already saying, we're not going to throw bricks through your window for a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But for extra money, we'll definitely not throw a brick through your window. We'll make sure. What?
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, I'm not for this besmirching of the post office. I was raised by a postman.
Okay.
And all the food I ate as a kid was paid for.
By the USPS.
By the USPS.
Well, just ask me for money, man. Don't try to trick me out of it.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Right.
That's all. I'll pay you to deliver my mail, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just quit making it weird.
Yeah.
Making it weird, man.
You know, going postal hasn't happened in a long, long time. I think you can't even use that a reference with a young crowd now.
Which doesn't make sense because there's less and less work for the USPS. So you would think tension would be even higher, and people would be going postal more often.
Chiller workplace.
Going postal now means going slower and maybe not doing anything. That's what the young people think the post going postal means.
The passive aggressive postal is what it is.
Wearing baggy work clothes.
And a safari, a hard safari hat.
The safari hat cracks me up,
man. I know, or why just standing. They
like they're on a little adventure.
Yeah. Or standing at the computer, not calling the next person, pretending to be busy.
Went postal today, man. Shit. It was raining.
It just means doing something you've never done before, like a young person going to the post office.
They've
never been there.
Oh, man.
Oh, wait, there's a place for this? I thought it was just magic.
Yeah.
I had a joke in the back in the day about the cars they drive too. These World War II Jeeps.
Yeah,
when are they gonna outfit the U.S. Postal Service?
It should be a Prius by now, right?
I mean,
it's starting and stopping. That's better gas economy.
They raised the price of stamps 1 cent.
Yep,
raise them a buck.
They
get them some cars.
Yeah, could they get a? Yeah, if they could get like a taller Prius, that'd be really nice, but they got to get all that mail in there, so you can't just do a Prius.
It's basically just one of those cube cars, but with a Prius engine in it. Mm. It seems totally easy to me.
Oh, man, just, people have a lot more respect for them.
You know?
Back like when Lance Armstrong wore their outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yep.
Wow. That was the best the U.S. Postal Service has been in a while. When Lance Armstrong won the Tour de France.
Yeah, yeah, like 7 times in a row.
And he got they put all their money into Lance Armstrong.
Yep, in that yellow jersey. And then, boom, disgraced, both of them. Now neither of them work.
Oh, man, what else don't I like? I love driving and I hate driving. Like,
it's
I
a love-hate relationship, really.
You love driving when the car is moving?
I have a car that is driving. I like going fast. I like going fast around corners.
Yeah.
And I like, racing.
Yeah.
And wherever I'm going.
You're in a rush. It doesn't even matter if you're in a rush.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be first off the line every
lead
fucking
foot,
time.
As my mom would say. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I like that lead foot, but it doesn't tell you which pedal in that sentence.
Oh, that's true because people lead foot on the brake. Oh, that is the most infuriating thing I have ever experienced on the road. If there is space in front of you and you hit your brakes, I want to ram through your car so I could get to that space.
That if you have listeners, that brake light, you got to not just consider your braking. You got to consider that giant light that goes on behind you when you hit those. And that light alarms everyone behind you, and it puts them in a braking situation, and that's how traffic is created. That's the exact way traffic is created. If you see brake lights in front of you, just take your time in deciding whether or not you're going to brake. Don't just put the brakes on because a red light came on in front of you. Decide if that person is just ever so gently touching their brake.
Well, it's like nobody coasts anymore. It's either gas or brake. There is a total middleman where you can just coast and slowly slow down.
Yes.
Coasting would change everything.
Coasting's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Put the clutch in.
You're using zero gas, baby. Mm-hmm. Coasting's the way to go.
You drive a stick shift?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Both my cars are stick shifts.
That's the worst in traffic.
Both my cars, I sound so rich. Both the cars that I operate during a day are stick shift and... Oh, man, yeah. I mean, that's big on the freeway. I can see the traffic developing,
mm-hmm.
and I can see all those brake lights. So I don't. I coast.
Mm-hmm.
I just take my foot off the gas, but I don't set off everyone behind me to do the same thing because I'm just contributing to what's going to happen. In an hour, we're not going to be moving.
Yeah.
If we keep this up. So, yeah, I hate that. I hate personalized license plates that are so fucking inside.
Inside baseball?
Oh, like I see what you're saying.
You know, because
you're
mean?
Sharing it with everybody, but you're just rubbing an inside joke. It's exclusive.
Like 3-2 LP as a personalized license plate.
3-2 LP.
Or like
you have 32 albums that you own? Like what are you talking about?
Right.
Now you're just confusing everyone in around you.
And I'm stuck behind your ass.
Just
wondering
at it,
trying to figure this out.
I don't want to be doing puzzles in traffic.
Right.
There's a license plate that's parked outside my work that is I heart ANL.
ANL?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Is it anal? Uh-huh.
It's got to be.
Of course it's anal.
Gotta be.
Of course it's anal.
Why are you allowed to have a heart?
Antlers.
Yeah, you can do characters?
You can do a heart. Yeah, I've seen hearts all the time.
I've seen hearts too.
Yeah, why can you do a heart?
Why can you?
You shouldn't be able to do a heart.
I never see an asterisk. Do you?
How do you take that down when you're type like in a computer? Like when you're
when you're a cop chasing someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, then that's got to be a like, that's why you should use a
license plate. I heart shape.
Mm-hmm. Anal.
A-N-L. I'd love to hear that. That dispatch.
I also think about the poor the poor prisoner who had to made that who had to make that. That's probably hates anal more than any human being alive.
Stamping.
some bottom bitch fucking prison guy stamping.
I hope
that.
He got a laugh. Like,
right.
Honestly, it's not that good. Your personalized license plate. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
Not interesting. I know it seemed like a good idea at the time, but it's not funny. Just put it in your car and put it on
your dashboard. It's kind of like a tramp stamp for vehicles because it's also not a good idea.
It's exactly like a tramp stamp.
Yeah, it's never the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
And you don't have to see it.
No, you don't. You have to make us see it.
We have to see the shit.
Mm-hmm.
I went out with a girl who had another man's name tramp stamped on her back.
Wow.
What, did she never want anybody to come behind her again?
And she didn't know. So, yeah, I mean, can you believe that? I mean...
What's the point? Is that she wanted you to come on the name? Is that like to get rid of it? I don't know. I can't follow that logic.
I guess she felt like she fucked him up, fucked him over. And so it was even harder, harsher than that. Like she felt he killed himself because of her.
Oh, wow. And this was like, this was her.
This girl has this name.
This was her head nod to him.
I thought he killed himself.
This
what
was
a
her.
Mess. How was your relationship with her?
I mean, imagine just having to look at that.
Was this a one-night stand or this is a girlfriend?
No, this is a girlfriend.
Wow, you're still alive, so.
Yeah, I'm still alive.
That's good.
I guess it wasn't as big a deal to me. I haven't done a podcast in forever. This is cool.
Hell yeah.
I'll say if anyone calls me out on that, 2 weeks ago I did a podcast that was like a video podcast, but recording one of these audio ones.
It's nice.
It's way nicer.
When you're not staring at a camera trying to be on fire.
Yeah.
And so are the other two hosts and you're not really engaged. This is much more engaging.
That's why I don't listen to a lot of podcasts in general, but I especially don't listen to live ones because I don't like conversations with people who are trying to be on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just frustrating to listen to.
It's like being in a circle of young comedians where everybody's trying to one-up each other. You know, or just trying to be on.
That I enjoy because it's just for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on those.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like when you're trying to perform.
But I wouldn't stand outside the circle and listen to it.
Right.
Me too.
You know, but I'll participate.
Yeah. Well, because when you're recording a live podcast, you also have to take into consideration the actual audience that's there in front of you as opposed to, like, people could be half-ass listening to this, cleaning their house, or you know what I mean, or in sitting in traffic, like passively listening.
Those are the best listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are that's me.
Yeah.
I clean and listen to them.
That's awesome.
Clean, man.
You hate the stuff about cleaning.
Cleaning's oh man.
Are you one of those people where it's like therapeutic?
I'm not good at, I'm not a clean person.
No?
Like, I just get dirt on me all the time.
He says as he picks something off of his jeans.
Like, I'll just sit down like, why is there mustard all over my fucking pants?
I don't even remember the last time I ate mustard.
I haven't mustard in weeks.
I have a little sponge that I keep in my room that's like a rough sponge just to take care of my pants at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah?
Because I like to wear jeans like 3 times before I wash them because they just lose their color and their...
Sure.
I try to wash them as little as possible, but I this white shirt I'm wearing right now is a bold thing because I get
dangerous.
It's dangerous.
I mean, there's stains on it anyway, so it makes it makes sense.
This is brand fucking new.
That's like me, dude.
It's unreal.
I see guys walking down the street with white pants, and I go, I could never.
So bold.
I could never do that.
What are you, Freddie Mercury? Get out of here! You should be wearing white pants.
Maybe for like 10 minutes. Then I gotta get back.
Yeah, just for a concert. That's the only reason you should be wearing white pants.
I like to be able to sit down wherever I am.
Yeah,
that's why I wear black pants.
Black pants, man.
Yeah,
but they still get dirty. I sat down today, and mine had some sort of white, like, gook on them.
I don't understand. I really think about this all the time because I have shirts I want to wear, but I thought this one didn't have stains, but I guess it does. I'm not Johnny Cash. I don't want to just wear black, but it's the only thing I can wear. Because you can clean black off real easily.
I know. I just kind of scrape it with your nail.
Yeah, you scrape it, or you just dab a little water on it. It's gone. But any other color, like especially white, everything just blends in.
I love white, and I can't wear it.
It's a beautiful color.
I order these white T-shirts once every few months, and they're just so like new, fresh white tees.
You immediately look like a wife beating Guido. like 2 weeks into it, it's just ripped and stained.
Oh man! And cut to 1 month later, and I'm just using them to wipe the counters.
Something else.
Washing your car.
That's another good thing about them is they double as rags.
They do, at the end of it. Of rags.
But then you just end up with a pile of rags and no T-shirts.
Oh man, Goodwill. It's great. I in Venice, you just leave your shit out on the garbage can in the back alley, and some guy is going to grab it. It's this wonderful little backyard thrift shop where you could just, like right now, there's an amazing desk in my alley. If anyone needs a desk, and it's metal. It's one of those steel arms.
It's called, that looks like a locker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really awesome desks.
It's like a file cabinet kind of thing?
It's like an old steel, like mid-century desk where it's all steel, but it's got sliding file cabinet drawers, but it's a desk.
Right. That's nice.
It's really good. And these rich people they let it rust in their backyard. I had seen it through their gate rusting, and then eventually they just left it in the alley. And if you just sand it down, because the rust is just surface rust, you just sand it down, put a layer of a lacquer on it, and you got a perfect.
This is coming out tomorrow, too. So if anybody in L.A. is listening.
Yeah
dude. At the alley, if you're in Venice, the alley, 6th and Rose, the alley behind 6th and Rose.
You do an Instagram series of the shit you find in the alley, right?
Part of my Instagrams, most of my Instagrams are neighborhood stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So part of the thing about living here, and most of the stuff you see, you're sitting in, is shit I found in alleys. That mannequin, these chairs.
You found a mannequin in the alley?
Found a mannequin, that ladder.
Wow.
This fridge, this chair, that chalkboard that I haven't used yet.
Wow.
This whole second floor, this loft. Thank you for that word.
Uh-huh.
That loft is all built with wood I found in the alley.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I built another one in the garage right next to us. And most of the stuff you guys came back to use the bathroom, most of the stuff out in that backyard, those couches, those tables.
Jesus.
All built from
wood. Wow, you furnished an entire house with stuff that you found in the alley.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
That's how San Francisco was. I remember being like, I need a new record player. So I just went and walked around the Mission and found one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I could, it was, sometimes I could just have a shopping list and get what I needed.
Well, I can guarantee you, if you're walking through, if you need an office chair anywhere in Venice, you can get an
office chair. Always one. It may not roll well, but there's still tons of them.
There are so many office chairs in this fucking city, man. People just get tired of their office chair, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the biggest symbol of their job they don't like. So it's just like,
quit.
Throw this away from me.
Chucking this chair out.
Also, standing desks are now all the rage.
Oh, I've got one of these.
Do you like it?
I put a chair behind it, and I use the chair every time. I got a super high chair.
So now you feel like you're working at a bar.
But if the chair wasn't there, when the chair wasn't there, I was standing and stuff. But I definitely, about 30 minutes in, you're like, you just start to lean over a bit.
it's a leaning desk instead of a standing one.
Well, maybe I should go back to standing.
I don't know.
You could always switch back and forth.
I heard a saying recently that somebody said to me, standing is the new smoking.
That's not true.
Sitting is the new smoking.
Oh, for sure.
Sorry, that's sitting is the new smoking.
My chiropractor would say that for sure. My chiropractor. That's how you know you're fucked up when you're. Yeah. It's your chiropractor.
When you have your own personal one.
Like when people say my diarrhea.
Yeah, yeah.
I've said that a lot. When you're taking ownership. Yeah.
My diarrhea.
My diarrhea is frequent.
You remember your diarrhea, Frank. Don't forget about your diarrhea.
Don't forget.
I froze the leftovers. Frank, you know, dogs love that.
You're ordering dessert? What about your diarrhea?
It's funny when other people know about your diarrhea. Yeah. It's one thing if you know, but if somebody else, think about your diarrhea.
Yeah.
Think about it.
That's love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most loving statement ever.
But what about your diarrhea? Think about that.
If ever someone says to you, what about your diarrhea, you should say, I love you.
Right then and there.
For your concern.
Because they care about your butthole. That's me how you too. Know somebody cares about you, is if they're concerned about your butthole.
Unless they say it like this, what about your diarrhea?
Yeah.
Then they think you're gross.
That means you're on tour with them. And
yeah.
They don't want to be burdened with it. Yeah.
Stopping.
Your diarrhea. Yeah.
Oh, dude, don't do that. What about your diarrhea?
What about, yeah.
That's
what about,
not love. That's resentment.
That's our don't diarrhea. Bother me with it.
Yeah, that's our diarrhea.
What about our diarrhea?
It's crazy how much tone changes everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What about your diarrhea? Dude, what about your diarrhea?
What's the worst tone, or like worst phrasing of something you think you've ever heard?
I don't understand the question.
What you're talking about, like inflection? Like the worst way to say something?
Anything? Whenever it started with... I think you're funny.
Yeah, or I hate
I
that.
Believe you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, because that's like gaslighting.
That means you're not funny.
Yeah, that means I think you're funny, but what they're saying is nobody thinks you're funny.
No one thinks you're funny.
Yeah.
If yeah, they probably, I mean, I guess people don't like you, but like I did.
You know what I accidentally said to a friend of mine recently? Carmen's man, Gary, her boyfriend, he's a comedian, and he said,
yeah, I know. I met Gary. How's Gary?
He's great.
Good. Tell him I said hi. Okay. Hi, Gary. Does he listen?
Sometimes.
Good. Well, tell him we talked about him.
Sorry, I said that.
No, I'm just kidding. It's I know not you are. True.
I said something to him recently. He said we were writing something together, and he texted me a line for this thing we were writing. And then when next time I talked to him, I go, dude, that was actually funny.
Oh,
and he got
actually,
mad.
Actually is a really fucked up word.
Yeah, I know.
Actually
yeah.
can really
like,
ruin
I was shocked
self-esteem.
You came up with something mm-hmm. funny. Like, holy shit.
I was surprised that it was going to be funny. That's what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually funny.
I thought you weren't
It's
funny.
Also worse in the middle of a sentence. That was really funny, actually. No, that's still really bad. Anywhere,
yeah,
actually,
still bad.
Just maybe There's don't no use word. Actually anymore.
Yeah, that was the problem. I struck out actually, then that
yeah,
was...
you know, you got to... You gotta take that word
there's
out.
No nice way of actually, even at the beginning, actually, that was really funny. Or that was actually really funny. Or that was really funny, actually.
It's all mean.
Every single way. We should just abolish the word actually.
Unless you're
I
trying to say
like
that.
It,
I like it.
Actually, I think it's a good word.
It's a very passive aggressive word.
I like the mail.
Yeah.
I actually got the mail today.
Yeah, that says I have no hopes or I do not trust you.
I never get the mail.
Yeah.
I get a ton of other people's mail. That's one thing about living in LA. You get a lot of other people's mail.
Yeah. I lived in a...
I open it.
I lived in like Silver Lake / Westlake area, and there wasn't a time I checked the mail that I didn't have 2 to 3 other people's... Because it was like... It was also a poorer part of town, so it was like the turnover must have been... People were leaving... Mid-lease constantly.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I would just get tons of, they were all Latin names, but just an assortment of Latin names.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, Velez, none of these are on the mailbox, but thanks for giving them all to me.
I get Harvard Magazine.
What?
Harvard Magazine.
Yeah, to my house. And it's like, who went to Harvard but doesn't change their address? Like, it seems like if you could get through Harvard and be an alumni, then.
You could fill out a fucking change of address
they're
form.
They're trying to get away from them.
Yeah,
because
they just want money.
Yeah,
once you leave,
they just want your money.
Right.
I get those too from UCLA.
Yeah,
that I didn't go to. I also get one from the previous tenant who was, I guess, a multimillionaire or something, or uh-huh. famous, because she gets invited to. Like, see, meet the queen of Turkey and shit like that.
What?
And, like, all these foreign places. And it's have dinner with the queen of Turkey.
Do you ever go? Do you ever, like...
It's a scam. There's no queen of Turkey.
Again, it's telling you, here's the donations. Here's here's the tables.
Oh, so it's one of those things where it's, like, 10 grand a plate if you want to go hang out with bitch.
And then 20 grand a plate if you want to sit closer. And then another, 60 grand if you want to sit with the queen and shit like that. or the Duchess.
I wonder how much of that money the Queen gets.
All of it.
She gets all of it, or does it go to the people who are setting up the dinner?
I'm sure it stays. I'm sure it's all put together by. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. But
do you do corporate events a lot? Do you do anything like that?
Look at me, dude. I don't. I love doing them.
You could do Bay Area tech companies.
I'd love to.
Yeah,
I'm available for corporate.
What's the worst gig you said yes to?
Oh man. Oh, I said yes to a gig for children with.
Oh no!
Already leukemia.
Oh, no.
Children with anything is
children
bad.
With leukemia. Saint Jude Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to perform. And they had
for the kids or for their supporters.
It was for a school. Who was trying to raise money for the kids for St. Jude's. And I don't know if you remember this kid whose picture is running around for a while, where mm-hmm. she's got no hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's in a Superman
outfit.
I think
they all have no hair.
No, right? Some of them have.
There's like three or four they can't.
Not the ones on the posters.
They're trying to sell. And they're happy, but they're shaved heads, so you know they're dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, they put those. They blew up those posters and put them all around the stage.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So you had to perform in front of a bunch of potentially dying children.
Right. No. Well, pictures of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that's what I do in my set, just to set the tone so people know. Buckle the fuck up.
On top of that, while performing, the kids were writing letters to people to try to raise money for St. Jude's Hospital as well. So during my set, everyone in the audience was writing letters.
God. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because
they thought that would be a good idea.
I'd love to see that meeting where that idea came up.
At least you weren't performing like after they read the letters out loud and
right.
everybody's crying. And then it's like, and now you.
I've done that. I've done the post someone just died introduction.
Oh, good, yep. good.
And it was an old golf and country club, 11 a.m., and the guy before bringing me on said, guys, nobody showed up to Cleve's funeral.
Oh, wow.
Cleve was a member here. He's been a member here for over 14 years.
Oh, my God.
So guys, they even guilted the audience,
too? They fucking guilted him.
And then said...
And then, you guys got to show up to these things, okay? This is part of the club. To go to these things. And with that being said, please welcome.
With that being said, that makes it so much worse.
Nobody showed up to his funeral.
With that being said, here's somebody else that didn't go to his funeral.
You would have seen this guy at the funeral if you showed up.
That's
your credit. You were at the funeral. You were the only one.
With that being said, that's so mean.
I guilted him as soon as they got on stage. I was like, I got to go with that.
Yeah.
That's still in the air. So I said, I can't believe you guys didn't go to his funeral.
Did they laugh?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't go either, but I can't believe you guys didn't.
Just ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
I talked about him for the first 10 minutes. I had to. With comedy, you can't. If something happened before you got on.
You have to be in the moment. Like, at least acknowledge it. So it has to be acknowledged, even
that's
if you
always,
don't dwell on it.
If you trip on stage as you're getting on stage, don't just go, how's everyone doing?
No.
Sorry about my new legs,
everyone. You have to
address
it.
Yes.
I just got these babies.
Yes.
That's a tough lesson to learn. One of the toughest lessons to learn, because the way you learn that lesson is because something horrible just happened and you didn't know what to do.
Can I tell you one of the funniest?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Horrible things? I was doing an open mic like fucking 18 years ago, and this comedian... You know how sometimes when you say something like, oh, my stupid, and then you hit your head
you hit your head with the microphone and it makes that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this guy did it on the front of his forehead like this. And he hadn't practiced it, I guess. And he was doing terrible. First of all, he's bombing. And then he did this bit and he cut himself.
Like Gigi Allen.
Yes.
So was he bleeding?
And so blood started trickling down his head while he was doing his set. And
see, he probably didn't notice it, right?
No, he didn't notice it. And we all noticed it. And we all started laughing.
And then he thought
that bit was killing. He had no idea it was because there was a bloody face in front of them telling him jokes.
Oh my God.
It's funny to bomb with a bloody forehead.
It was one of the greatest things. And the worst is, to him, it felt like a tickle. So he would wipe it, and the blood would just wipe, and he'd keep going, and he'd keep wiping it. He thought he was sweating.
He looked like a Last of the Mohicans. I mean, it.
And it just, the heightening and the escalation. And I think someone at some point was going to tell him, and someone just went, no.
Shh, don't do that.
We deserve this.
Yeah.
We're at an open mic. Can we please have this?
Yeah.
We earned this from sitting through the first half of his set without the head wound.
Oh, man. It was a lottery, too. So,
of course.
You know how those go.
Yeah.
Lottery are great, but the audiences. The lottery are all people who didn't get picked for the fucking lottery.
Yes.
So you can imagine how happy we were.
I was doing an open mic in a laundromat in San Francisco, one of the first times I'd ever done comedy. And this guy who was clearly on some kind of drugs, he was doing a shitload of push-ups before he went up, and he was pouring sweat. And he had like a mohawk. And I remember his first joke he ever told. The first joke, he said, it wasn't a joke at all. He said, I'm half, my mom's Catholic and my dad is Jewish. So, you know, a lot of problems. That's all he said.
As he's pouring sweat.
Yeah, he's pouring sweat with this like kind of like Tool looking mohawk, like he was in a fan of Tool, like it was like a long ponytailed mohawk. And then when nobody laughed at that, whatever that was, he snapped, and he was a white guy, and he started screaming in Chinese. And then this
real Chinese,
real
like
Chinese
Mandarin.
Well, this Chinese comic stood up and said, "Your Chinese sucks."
Okay.
And he said, "My Chinese sucks. Your Chinese sucks. You whore!" And picked up a chair and threw it at her. She ducked. It broke a window at the mic. And then he ran out screaming and punched a homeless guy in front of the
what
in San Francisco. This is San Francisco at the Brainwash, just recently closed. It was the longest running open mic in San Francisco. Ran down the street. Everybody ran after him. Me and one other comic ran to the sign-up list to find his name and added him on Facebook immediately.
Wow.
This guy's got to be a fun read.
And then I had to go up after that. And the mic kept happening. And this is how I didn't address. There was a homeless guy outside the window you could see getting stitched up by an EMT. And I'm sitting there on stage trying to tell my joke about Selma, Alabama, this really offensive joke I had. And I was just going through it, and I didn't know what to do. And it was humiliating and insane.
Wow.
I think the reason it's difficult, I think the reason it's a difficult lesson to learn is because you have to be comfortable enough with the fear of being on stage in order to address something that's happening. Because if you're not, you're clutching to your material as the thing that's supposed to get you through this, as opposed to you being a person and being like, what the fuck did that just happen, huh? Wasn't that crazy?
We are the captain of the ship, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also, when you're young, I think you put too much pressure on being witty when you address it. You're like, I don't have anything funny to say, but you can just straight up address it.
Yeah, yes. You can just
and
say
not worry about
happened.
It being creative. Or
just say, did you see that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I did a show and the fire alarm went off. And then I went up and I was like,
Did sprinklers go?
No. It was in a casino. It was a huge casino. So nobody knew where it was or anything like that. And then the show stopped. I was like a joke and a half in. The show stopped. And I was auditioning for the club too. So it was even worse. So then the show stops. Then they come out. They come back in. They're like, oh, it's fine. It's nothing. It was a false alarm, blah, blah, blah. And then I had to go back up and be like, I'm sorry. I was bringing so much heat, guys. I'm sorry. Like I had to make fun.
Sorry, my ride's here.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
And then,
I had one where there was an earthquake while I was on stage. And everyone was yelling earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought.
And you're like, no, my name's Lachlan. Earthquake is a black comedian.
That's right. I actually told a joke and then they started saying earthquake. I didn't feel the earthquake. And I thought they were calling me out for stealing a joke from earthquake.
I would love to hear you do earthquakes material.
And then to have an audience, by the way, in Hermosa Beach, no earthquakes.
Yeah, no,
jokes
so well.
They're all yelling earthquake at me.
Not only do they know his jokes, but they're vigilant defenders.
Earthquake.
Of him.
Earthquake.
It'd be funny if you're like, man, I'm really hungry. You guys feel how hungry I am right now? That's a rumble in my tummy.
I said, we all just stayed here and yelled earthquake. Okay, I just wanted to know how you're gonna die.
I love it. Yeah. I love how unfazed we are by natural disasters.
Nobody
that we
ran
just,
into a door nope. entrance.
Which is a dumb. Which is a dumb. I think that's dumb.
Is yeah, it? Well, you you think it's dumb, but do you know? I mean, it might. There's got to be a reason, right?
Well, I would say that the frame of a door is double reinforced as opposed right. to the other walls. So I would say if a building is falling over,
it's just the safest
maybe.
Place because it's just less shit will fall on your head. But it's right. also not. It's. I mean, that's still not a lot of room. Get what are you going to get a whole family under that door?
Get under a table.
Yeah.
yeah.
Get under a table, I think, would be safer. I don't really think. I mean, it's going to take a fucking huge earthquake to take down the ceiling. What's more likely going to happen is windows and glass are going to smash.
Sure.
And so there's debris. There's going to be. It's more mm-hmm. of a debris thing. So right. a door entrance doesn't help you when there's
That's
debris.
Why I think it's like an empty closet would be the safest.
Yes. Empty closet.
Who has empty closets? There's,
it doesn't exist, but if it did, a very poor person who just moved into a place.
Empty is, closet. For sure. Was,
yeah, Buddhist monastery, yeah. maybe.
Empty subway car.
yeah, other things that you'll never see.
Yeah, exactly. I did comedy once at a blood drive, and I thought it was going to be like people waiting to give blood, but it was a bunch of gurneys in front of the stage, and I had to entertain the people who were actually giving blood.
That's what did you think it would be? Just people who are.
I thought it was like people who were waiting to get like to donate blood. Like I thought it was maybe like a blood bus or something, and then like the people waiting, you would entertain them and be like, "Thanks for giving blood. Here's some jokes." Da 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 da. You know what I mean? But it wasn't. It was just a ton of gurneys. It was like 10 gurneys set up where people would have been sitting in a comedy club. And then me on stage, like, this got to be one of the weirdest ones for sure.
Oh, because they're, but you also got them at their silliest. You know, they're low on blood. A little lightheaded. A little lightheaded.
And the ones that were at the end, but yeah. then there's people who are also terrified of giving right. blood and needles and stuff. And
just it's so funny how we want to put comedy in all sorts of stuff. It's like the cayenne
they don't even do
pepper.
That with music yes. as much.
What's that?
I don't even think music gets put in as many weird places as we
yeah,
do.
You wouldn't have a live band at a blood drive, would you? I wouldn't want to hear that.
No.
I wouldn't want to hear comedy either, though. But it's also that's one step away from being a good idea. What if you did this? You donate blood, we give you free tickets to a comedy show.
That's easier.
That's much easier.
It's yeah. way, tonight. Way easier.
Tonight, you could even have that venue after the blood is done.
Yeah, do yeah what, once you're done, like, here's some cookies. Don't drink. Well, because then you want people to drink, though. The venue wants people to drink. You can't
Not
drink
at the
right
donation,
after you get blood.
If you do the show right at the donation center.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that, by the way, you sound like such a promoter right there. Let's just give them tickets to a comedy.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah, that's going to be my downfall. I'm ended up promoting just, shows.
Unlike music, comedy is just very, it's very dynamically challenging, so there needs to be certain rules that a lot of people just don't understand.
They just need to put Todd Glass in charge of live comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of all of it.
Yeah, just, he is president of live comedy. No live comedy can happen unless he improves the environment.
I agree.
I think it just came to me. I think that's why it's put everywhere is because all you need is a microphone and a stool, and a stool if you're lucky. You know what I mean? A band, right. you need enough space to have a drummer, all these instruments, amps. You got to have all this shit. For a stand-up, you just need a microphone.
The only difference is a band, you don't need an audience to listen.
Exactly.
You can have a band playing while you're playing pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't listen to comedy while you're playing pinball.
No.
It's not the same. Yeah, you're definitely. Well, I mean, it's tough for the comedian. I mean, you could do that. I've done that gig plenty of times.
Oh yeah, we all have.
But it's not good. It's not good.
Can you imagine trying to listen to comedy while playing pinball? How hard that would be. Like, you're either not going to laugh or you're going to have the worst game of pinball.
Yeah, you're just going to drain money.
What style of comedy goes with pinballs the best?
Gabriel Iglesias.
Musical comedy.
Oh, you're right. That without even missing a beat, you're 100% yeah. right.
Or but musical comedy.
He would probably start harmonizing with the machine. Like yeah. you like yeah. you wouldn't know.
you couldn't tell if it was the machine or if it was him. Lachlan, tell people where to find you.
At an arcade.
I found a PlayStation 3 in an alley.
No way. Did it work?
Works perfect. I actually got it. It actually came with the Man of Steel on Blu-ray in it.
Nice.
Wow.
You can find me at Lockjaw, LACHJAW, on Instagram, Twitter. And you can go to my website and see all my dates on my calendar at LachlanPatterson.com.
Are you going out a lot this year?
I am going the perfect amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too much, not too little.
Yeah.
You can still enjoy, because you also are fortunate enough if you live in a place that you enjoy. Like, yeah. Venice is nice.
Yeah, if
I'm going to do it,
people are like, what's your idea for your show? And I'm like, it takes place in Venice, in the alleys. You know, like, yeah. If I'm going to do a show, it's going to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, because you filmed your last special here, too, in Venice, right?
6 blocks away, yeah.
That's what awesome. Was that venue called?
It was called 2 Rose Avenue, and I'm 6th and Rose.
Oh, okay.
But the actual address was 2. Yeah. So it was actually, one was a bar right on the boardwalk, and the wall, they're like, someone said, do you want to do a comedy show in this bar? And I'm like, no. And he goes, we got a room behind here, and it was this empty room. And I thought, this is it.
This is the place to do it.
And I walked home after my special. It was great.
Wow.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah. Done and home.
Yeah, so it is great. I love living here. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you.
Well, we got a shorter email now.
Yeah, we do.
Because our old email was the Constitution.
We got a lot of heat for that. So we have a new one. It's nosirpod@gmail.com, which is the same as the handle for everything else. At nosirpod on Instagram, on Twitter. We're on Laughable now. We should tell people that. We're on Laughable now. So you can subscribe to the podcast there for all of your No Sir, I Don't Like It needs.
We need to tell the people who aren't listening, you know?
But if somebody that listens already has Laughable.
Listeners, we're going to make a pyramid scheme here. Every one of you, if you get 3 of your friends to listen, and then they get 3 of their friends to listen, I will send you Capri Suns.
What kind of Capri Suns, though?
Acai. I don't know how to say it, but I'll make that flavor myself. I'll make loquat Capri Sun.
Acai.
Acai.
I thought. What about Surfer Cooler, man? Capri Sun. Surfer Cooler is. It makes sense for this episode.
If you want some homemade Capri Suns.
Is loquat different from a kumquat?
Yes.
What's very the difference?
Different. Kumquat is way more bitter.
Less, yep. less cum in it?
Less cum, yeah. But if you water the kumquat tree with pineapple juice, they taste a lot sweeter.
It's not salty at all.
Well, follow us, listen, tell your friends, and then also if you're a business and you want to give us money to talk, please do. Bye.
Bye.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.